As Freddie said, our gathering this evening will be a little bit different. The elders had a meeting with the men this afternoon, and we wanted the rest of the congregation to hear what we had to say. We have written down what we wanted to say and make sure that we didn't duplicate one another, and so we thought it would be the best idea for us to just read what we had all had agreed on so that we'd have it before us, and maybe you can follow where we're going and understand some of the things that we want you to know and want you to understand. We want to update you on the progress and the process of selecting a new preacher here at Eastside. Let's go back to the time Bob first told us of his plans and review the progress from that time until now. In the summer of 2005, in the June-July time frame, Bob told us that he was considering retiring. His plan was to retire from the regular full-time preaching work at Eastside as he approached time when he could draw his Social Security. He also had other works he wanted to pursue. At that time, the elders began developing a set of criteria for the person we would like to have replace Bob. No specific man or group of men was being considered, just a description of the man we thought would be best for us to consider. This activity continued at a slow but regular pace for several months as we gave careful and serious consideration to this matter. In 2006, May of 2006, again Bob met with the elders to update us and to confirm his retirement plans and planned date of retirement. Subsequent to that, he made the public announcement of his plans. We still were not considering any man as a replacement, but continued to study and further develop our criteria list. For example, did we want a married man or a single man? If married, should he have children? How old should they be? Young man or older man? How many years of preaching experience? Does he use PowerPoint? And other things. Now, Freddie will talk with us about the input that we ask you to provide to us.
In August 2006, we asked the church at Eastside to submit criteria that you considered important in the man to be selected and names of men who would be worthy of our consideration. Many of you gave us the requested written input containing criteria, names, or both. We looked at each submission carefully. In some cases, further discussion and clarification was needed. We met with several of you individually to discuss your comments. We listened to your concerns and, where it was needed, made other inquiries to make sure we had as many facts as possible. In each case, we tried to follow up with you to let you know what we had learned. We appreciate your genuine interest in this matter. Approximately 50 names were submitted for consideration. Many names were listed by only one person, others by two or three, and some more. We began reviewing these names. Many of the men we did not know, other than perhaps by reputation, or maybe by their writings. Some we eliminated as we compared them to our criteria list that we had made. Several others were eliminated by informal contact as the men declined to be considered. We agreed that we would not seek to rob a man from a neighboring congregation, and if we could find a good man otherwise, we would not consider relatives of Eastside members. After much consideration, we agreed to contact three men who we felt met our criteria and who appeared on multiple sheets submitted by you. These three men were Richard, Greg, and Jeff Smith. At this point, the elders had deliberately not made a choice between these men as we endeavored to objectively consider each of them. First, since they were from out of town, we contacted Richard and Greg. Both expressed appreciation for the contact and wanted some time to consider their interest. After 2 or 3 weeks, both of these men declined our invitation to be considered. Greg said he had considered it carefully, but they felt they were still needed where they were. Richard said both he and his wife have aging parents, and circumstances had reached a point for them such that they felt they were needed there. It is our understanding and belief that neither was in any way opposed to the work here at Eastside, but rather they thanked us for contacting them. Now Wayne will talk about our conversation with Jeff.
We contacted Jeff about his interest. Jeff's name had appeared on significantly more papers submitted by you than any other man. Further, we had also received verbal inputs favorable to Jeff from others that had not been submitted previously in writing. We considered the lessons that Jeff had presented for us. Most of these lessons, perhaps all but one, were on topics the elders specifically had asked Jeff to discuss. Most men who preach will agree it is often more difficult to prepare a lesson on an assigned subject than on one you choose. We also discussed our observations regarding Jeff's family, his wife Tammy, and the behavior of their children, Brad, Katie, and Brian. On Saturday morning, October 21st, we had our first discussion with Jeff about the possibility of preaching at Eastside. This was a four-hour session. We discussed Jeff's personal background, having already made some inquiries of those who knew him in Louisville, Knoxville, and at Sandon Road here in this county. Then we spent a long time listening and asking questions as Jeff presented his view of biblical teaching and how he would approach lessons on various topics. These topics were given to Jeff in advance of the meeting. Here's a list we discussed with him. Modesty, marriage and divorce, grace fellowship, including the continual cleansing doctrine, authority in general, the authority of elders, establishing biblical authority, and respect for authority, social drinking and substance abuse, how to deal with specific sins as opposed to just lessons in general on general topics, creationism, the role of women in the church, homosexuality, pornography, carnal warfare, the second serving of the Lord's Supper, and the covering worn by women in 1 Corinthians 11. Jeff's answers were concise, truthful, biblically based, and backed by Scripture. As we talked, we did not limit ourselves to the topics on the list alone. We expanded our discussion wherever it was warranted by Jeff or us. We also discussed what he felt makes for a good or bad preacher, congregation, and preacher, eldership relationships. It was a very good 4 hours. Jeff left, and we continued another hour plus discussing what we had heard. We agreed to go home and give this further consideration. We met the next day, Sunday, October 22nd, following the evening service, and agreed we wanted to offer Jeff the job as our new preacher. He meets our criteria, he has our trust and respect, and clearly he enjoys good congregational support. We discussed compensation and other considerations that we would need to discuss with Jeff. We again met with Jeff on Saturday, October 28th, and offered Jeff the job as Eastside's new preacher. And now Bill has some comments.
We believe we have made a good choice. Jeff's lessons have been well presented and truthful. We believe he is a good Bible student, that he has a respect for the Scriptures, a love of truth, and a love for souls. He handled himself very well as he discussed the topics just mentioned. And as stated earlier, Jeff's name was on more of the sheets submitted by you than any other name. We appreciate the lessons Bob has presented that we would work together during this time of transition. We appreciate your prayers on our behalf as we have made this selection. Many hours have been spent as we considered this matter seriously and carefully. And we sincerely solicit your support of Jeff as he works with us. Bob plans to continue his work as our preacher until next May. In the interim, we are working on two things related to this change. What ways, if any, can we profitably use Jeff between now and May? And how can we use any time Bob might have available after the change next May? Works are being considered and discussed that would utilize the talents of these men in a way that would benefit the work of the Lord in this congregation and other places where opportunities might arise. Jeff is going to have some comments for us at this time. After that, Bob will extend the invitation.
Let me just make a couple of comments, and the men heard these earlier this afternoon. The first thing I want to say has really nothing to do with the work that I'll be doing as an evangelist at this place. It has to do with how this local church welcomed me and my family a little over a year ago when we decided to worship with you. The strength and maturity of this local church is obvious, at least it was to me, outsiders coming in and becoming one of you. You immediately embraced us and welcomed us as a member of this family. And that did not go unnoticed. And it is not unimportant. I want you to know that, first and foremost. This is a very, very special place. A very unique place to call home spiritually. So that, I want to at least say that to you again. I also feel the need to thank you publicly for the vote of confidence that you have given in the fact that you submitted my name to the eldership for consideration of this position, for this work. That is not lost on me either. I want you to know that I really appreciate that. That is a vote of confidence that I'll try not to betray. I'll do my best to work hard in doing the work of an evangelist at this place. I want to thank the elders for their many hours of work and the conversations we've had. They've been most supportive. They've been very direct in some of their questions, which is good. They need to do that. They have charge of the work here. And I want to thank them also. And let me say two more things that I think are obvious. I can't be Bob. And Tammy cannot be Sandra. We're not going to try to be Bob and Sandra. They are, in many respects, irreplaceable because of the great good they have done, not only in this place, but their literature is used by churches all over the country and all the good they've done for the cause of Christ. So we're not going to try to fill their shoes. We can't. We want them to walk along beside us and help us. We will need their help. Most definitely we'll need their help. And we'll need your help as well. Something that we can do in the interim between now and May the 1st is we plan to do a lot of visiting with you in your homes. Find out where you live and sit down with you and talk away from the assembly and try to learn you better and you try to learn us better because we want this to be a relationship outside these four walls where we assemble and meet. I want to close with a verse that I paraphrased this afternoon, but I actually want to read it from Colossians, the 4th chapter. And I know that the setting of this epistle is not my setting. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. I understand that. But there is a sentiment that is stated in verse 3 that I think is appropriate and is a request that Paul made of the Colossian brethren that I make of you also. In Colossians 4, starting in verse 2, he writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ." That's my request also of you. Please pray for me and for my family, that through the work that we can do together with you, God may open many doors for us all for the cause of Christ. We may speak forth the Word of mystery and save souls that are lost and encourage and build up brethren who are weak in their faith and help us be the kind of local church that Christ would be proud of to call His own. Thank you very much.
Well, as I did this afternoon, I wrote out what I wanted to say so that I could follow the example of our elders. I have thought about this for a long time, and you know by now that my lesson this morning was in preparation for the events of this afternoon and evening. I cannot read the hearts of men except as they are revealed in words and actions. But in the meeting this afternoon, I felt that the elders maintained a spiritual tone, a wonderful spiritual tone. And you have this evening heard and seen what we were told at the meeting this afternoon. Brother Charles spoke this afternoon after the other men had read what they had and everything, and I thought his comments were so good and so appropriate. And they fit so well with the things that I'd said this morning about edifying. And I like the way he put it. He said that as those who teach and work to help people grow and develop, we're trying to put tools in your toolbox. I thought that was a very good way of putting it. That is what we want to do. We want to put spiritual tools, knowledge, attitudes. These are the spiritual tools that we want to put in everyone's toolbox. I want to commend the elders for working long and hard on this matter. If I were to try to calculate the number of hours that they have spent thinking about this since July, according to my notes, July of 2005, it would be in the hundreds. of ours. I think they've been very conscientious and scrupulous in what they have told you they were doing. They are honest. And I really appreciate them for that. And I'm impressed that they have done their homework in the search for a preacher. They have not hesitated to make calls and to contact whomever they felt they needed to contact. They have sought opportunities for me to talk with them about preachers. We had one meeting in which I talked to them about things to be careful about in searching for a preacher. And they expressed appreciation to me for this. They also asked me to give my comments on the three preachers that came down to Greg and Richard and Jeff, and I did that. I expressed my concerns about having a man who would feel comfortable with having me around. That was a concern of mine. And they assured me that this factor was a concern of theirs also. And I thank them for that. I did not know Jeff very well until he came here to worship. We had maybe a couple of conversations before he actually came here with his family. He sat in quite a number of my classes and has listened to quite a few of my sermons. And Jeff, I may be returning the favor. We've conversed a number of times, and I feel that I know him pretty well by now. I have a lot of admiration for Jeff and his family. I have come to love them. Jeff and Tammy have impressed me with their willingness to work and with their kind disposition. I believe that Jeff has humility. I have seen that. And he's a good student of the Bible, and he is a man with whom I feel that I can work. I have worked very hard on my part to make this transition as smooth as possible. And at this point, there's a thought that comes to my mind that sort of ties together everything the elders have done, what Jeff has done, what I've done, and I believe what we all have done. We have tried to reach for that spiritual core, that spiritual thing that we should all be reaching for. Instead of making this a matter of politics, we have all reached for the spiritual. And I'm very, very thankful for that. I very much want to continue to have a role in the work at Eastside, although a much reduced one, because I love the church here. And I've put a great deal of my heart and life into this work. One does not easily just walk away from a work such as this. I'm therefore thankful for the elders' plans to use me in whatever way I can be of service after May. I think it is a tribute to this church. And this is not a matter of flattery. It's a matter of thanksgiving and rejoicing that within a relatively short period of time, we could add a significant number of deacons, we could add three elders, and make the transition from one preacher to another, and still be speaking to each other. We haven't blown up. And that's what I expect of you. That's what I have expected of you. And you have delivered. A church changes over the years. Sometimes people don't really think about that. You think of the name of this church or that church, and you think it's always that same church. No, churches change over the years, and though it may meet in the same building, and though it may carry the same designation, Eastside, 77th Street, Midfield. By the way, two of those don't meet any longer in the places where they used to meet, are not called by those designations anymore. But they were once great, very strong churches with wonderful people, strong people, committed people. That's what made them strong. It may meet in the same building, may carry the same designation, and yet that which makes up the church, its members, changes over the years. Each generation has to till its own fields and keep its own gates. Now, for 13 years, going on 14, I have joined forces with you to maintain the work and the reputation that Eastside has had. And the point here is not the reputation as a reputation in and of itself, any more than it should be with a person, but it is rather a good name that is to be chosen. A good name because of what that person or that church has done and how it has conducted itself. And my concern is that we do all we can to maintain the course of this church, that it may continue to be a strong church in the years ahead as it has been a strong church in the past. I do not see easy years ahead for our country. And this afternoon, Brother Bowen mentioned the possibility of cultural upheavals that may be ahead. And I fear that that will be the case. Churches are going to find it hard to be strong, and they will find it increasingly difficult to maintain strength. And this is why, if a church is strong, we want to keep it that way. We want to keep it that way so that that church can move ahead and do everything that church can to be a good influence in a world shrouded in darkness. Jesus prayed that His disciples might be one, even as He and the Father were one, John 17, verses 20 and 21. And He put it this way, "Even as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be in Us." That's particularly verse 21. Jesus meant by that, that He and the Father share the same nature, the same nature of spiritual and moral excellence. And what He was saying is that we are to share their nature, so that as He and the Father share that nature, they're one. As we share that same nature with them, we are one with them. That makes it a very powerful thing to think about. And as we share this oneness with God and Jesus, as we share this nature, our oneness will be apparent. If we do not share it, that will also be very evident. Let us be one in carrying on the work of the Lord in each of our lives. Don't let that go past. In each of our lives, let us carry on the work of the Lord and also in the work of the church. I've had a couple of people asking me if I feel like a lame duck. Now, some of you know what that is without my explaining it, but for the sake of those who do not know, that term is often applied to a president, for example, when he is in his last term of office, and especially in the last part of the last term. Everyone feels that he has very little power or influence left because he's about to go out of office. So they do not take him seriously and or decide to wait until he's gone to go for what they want. I have replied like this. A president rules by law and exercises the authority of government, which ends when he leaves office. The only influence that I have or have ever had is through my teaching of truth and through my example. And truth does not change, regardless of whether I'm preaching it or Jeff is preaching it. Truth does not change. And whatever power I have to influence is vested in the truth. So it's really not my word that moves people, but God's. And this will continue to be the case no matter who preaches it. So no, I don't feel like a lame duck. I don't feel like a lame duck at all. I have no urge to quack. As we come to the end of this service, you know, we sometimes say, now I haven't told you tonight, I haven't preached to you tonight about how to be a Christian. But have you ever really thought about some of those assemblies that we read about in the book of Acts? Like when Paul and Barnabas returned and gathered the church together to tell them all that the Lord had done? I think that would have been an assembly much like this one tonight. There were those times. What about the times when they did take the seven men that had been chosen by the church and the apostles prayed and laid their hands upon them? What about when the church at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas out on that first journey? Oh, I think definitely there were assemblies and services where basically the kind of thing that we have done tonight was done. These are spiritual things that we're doing. They are of spiritual concern. But if you are not a Christian tonight, one thing I want you to understand is that that's all we're interested in, is the spiritual. We're interested in your salvation. And that salvation is here, and it's available for you. And if you want that salvation, you can have it. God has made it yours. All you have to do is reach out for it. Do what you need to do to receive it. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, can repent of your sins and confess your faith. To be baptized, to have your sins removed. Those are the simple conditions of salvation that have been appointed by the Lord. And then on the basis of that great sacrifice that Jesus made through His blood, you will be forgiven. You will enter in the covenant with your God. You will become one of His children. If you're subject to that invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.